good singing all the way around. Let's see if I can find this button. I can't even find the button. How's that? Is that better? All right. Thank you very much. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 35, if you'll find the place in Genesis chapter number 35. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. It's good to see all these faces tonight and these young people, and we thank God for that. Good job, Miss Abigail, on the piano, by the way. And then, of course, you know, you too, Miss Lori, and of course, Miss Sarah, and you know, these kids here, they're still kid enough that you've got to acknowledge them too. No, land. Chapter 35, verse 1, Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, and who answered me in the day of my distress, and he was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, all of their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under an oak, which was by Shechem. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Thank you, Lord, for having heard and answered prayer. We ask you that you'd help us to just simply believe you. Thy word is true, and Lord, we thank you that it's past finding out. Now, bless, I pray, this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a sermon entitled tonight, Get to Bethel and Dwell There. Same as get to the house of God and dwell there. It ought not to be a matter like the rest of the religious world. They're in church and out of church, more out than they are in. They go as a matter of convenience. Let me tell you, it's the dwelling place to the child of God. And if you're not dwelling in the house of God, let me tell you, there's a lot of pitfalls that are out there that you're liable to trip, stumble, and fall over in before this thing's over. I begin to look at it, you'll find out. Remember the psalmist over there in Psalm 23? Do you remember whenever he was talking about the Lord's my shepherd? And then he gets on down there in the very last verse of it, and he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, it's not just simply, a truck religion. I'm not just hauling a load and dumping it out, taking off after something else. I want to tell you, we're in this for the long haul. I guarantee you right now, when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to find out is that there were some conditions here that hindered, no doubt, this man by the name of Jacob. You remember he was a heel underminer, if you will, talked his brother into selling him his birthright. Remember, that's why he was scared of him. And he was on the run from him, and he was on his way back to where that he ought to get. And then he decided, when he came there into the land of Shechem, he came there and decided in chapter number 33, in about verse number 17, Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and he built him a house, and he made booths for his cattle. Therefore, and the name of the place is called Succoth. Now, I want you to watch that. Here's a man that's been used to dwelling in tents. Here's a man used to being ready temporarily to be housed here, going out of this world somewhere. But now he's tired, and he wants to be like the rest of the world, and he builds him a house and decides he's going to take a permanent route that's there. You know what happened to him, don't you? He got to looking around thinking, you know, I'm already scared of my brother. There's already some enemies of Israel, but it looks like this might be a good place to settle down. Looks like there's some men here could protect us. Looks to me like that there's some provision that we could have. Look at these great pasture lands that are around about us. And it looks to me like that somehow or another, there's some real prospects here to make money and to be able to, I don't know, to get richer and to be able to make marriages with our children. And boy, it just looked good all the way around. You better be careful anytime you look at something that looks good, and deep down inside it may not really be. While he was there, here's what ends up happening, is that you'll find out that while he's there in the land of these Hamites, and that's really and truly whenever you begin to look at Shechem, and he's a Hamite, and that's a Hamite by descendant. And let me say to you, is that he liked the idea of having a society offer and the security of that and the success that might go with that as well. In fact, as he looked over there in about verse number 21, he said, let us dwell in the land and trade therein. In other words, they had some prospects of being able to buy and sell and trade. And then, if you will, please, is that not only did it look favorable and good for that, but he didn't see this coming at him. You'll find out it was a failing condition. And you know the reason why it was a failing condition? No preaching. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? No preaching. And if they do preach anything, and you look in the Bible and find out that it's not exactly right, then you dare not say anything about it. You might upset a buddy. You might upset a friend. You know, I've lost more people over this Bible than any other thing in life. And I'm talking about preacher friends. They started going another direction. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that no preaching is a failing condition. You get to where you're preoccupied with yourself, your job, your life, and this and that. And let me tell you right now, no preaching will finally catch up with you. Notice in the lesson that we're looking at in chapter number 34 is that he had a daughter. And by the way, she wasn't even old enough to be a child of consent. Somewhere between 13 and 15 years of age, they estimated. And he had a daughter by the name of Dinah. And notice that, if you will, is that she was out there in chapter 34, verse 1, with the daughters of the land. And then when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the country, saw her, he took her and he lay with her and he defiled her. Look at that. I mean, whenever he saw her, got his eyes upon her. You know, I'm always, and you're thinking I'm crazy and that I'm nuts, I'm always warning all of you mamas and daddies about keeping an eye on your children, because out there in the world there's some devil that's going to look at them, he's going to lust after them, and he's going to do what he can to be able to go after them and finally take them. Well, here you'll find that this fella by the name of Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, he got his eyes on her, and boy, I'm going to tell you, it bothered him deep down in his soul. He just couldn't think about nothing else. He thought about her, he took her, he had her, he had... you know, whenever you look up that word took there, it means to mingle. It means to draw. It means to fetch. It means to win. It took him a little bit to be able to win her affection. And boy, it wasn't long that he finally took her and that he lay with her and so forth and defiled Jacob's daughter. You know, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that in verse number 3, he said, oh, my soul, he said, I'm telling you right now, my soul clave to her. In verse number 8, he mentions again and says, oh, I've got to have her. Please, the soul of my son, his daddy said, longeth for your daughter. We'd like to be able to have your daughter to be my son's wife. Now, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that what I'm preaching about tonight, the world, even religiously, would want to go to hollering racist. Well, take it up with God. It's his word. It ain't mine. In this day and hour that we're living in, I remember, and I had a good friend of mine. He's in heaven tonight. And he told me, he said, well, you know, I was in the military, preacher, and you can't preach things like that would be considered racist, because there's a lot of that in the military. I said, oh, then is the military then going to determine what's right and wrong in the sight of God, or is the word of God going to do it? I've had people that absolutely told me, said, well, you know what? I'll tell you something, is that you can't do that over here where we're living. I'm hearing here of late that one of my good friends had a man wearing a dress, calling himself a missionary to Scotland. You're going to let a nation turn your heart away from the word of the Lord? Are we now going to start teaching for commandments the doctrine of men instead of the doctrine of God? Has God changed his mind whenever he said that a man should not put on a woman's garment and vice versa, because all that do so are an abomination unto God? You see what I'm talking about? Scotland may do that. Scotland's wrong. Let me ask you this. If that's going to be your argument, let me ask you this. What about an Eskimo? They'll let somebody sleep with one of their wives that comes there, and is that going to be next? That's awful quiet, but I don't really need a lot of confusion know-how. See, it's not my best friend. My best friend is living in the inside in my heart. I've got some good friends, but you're not going to go ahead and rise above the blessed word of the Lord. You know, we're living in a day and an hour, and there's a bunch of mess going on up and down the road in churches. Did you know that this Bible said that a woman is to not speak in the church, but she's to keep silent? They're going to be keeping the same Bible that said that. Now, it's all right for kids to run wild in church. God bless you. Thank you very much. I can't believe some of the stuff that I'm hearing that's going on. And let me tell you right now, somebody said, well, now, preacher, you're not going to preach about this racist stuff in the city like we live. Oh, I see. It's the city that has the precedence over the Word of God. Is that right? No. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't last long. I realize that some of you would look better probably in a kilt. Some of you fellas, you know, out there and them hairy, nasty looking legs you got and them little shorts you got and wear on, you probably look better in one of them kilts that's high dollar stuff. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you very much. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I'm going to tell you, you know what happened to Jacob? I'll tell you what happened to it. He moved his family and set them down where there was no preaching from the word of the Lord. They pretty much just had it made. Did you ever notice on TV how much race mixing there is in the day we live in? I mean race mixing. Some pretty little old gal, you know, she's sitting there, you know, at the dinner table with a big buck that's sitting there, her husband, all them half-breed kids around, and some of them others must be their in-laws or whatever they are. A lot of that's going on. Now, do I dislike any of those people? No, but they're wrong. No, I don't dislike none of them. Do I dislike any of these preachers that I know that are pulling this mess here? No, but I got a Bible, and bless your heart, honey, I know they're wrong. I've been watching that thing for years. I remember back in the 80s, I just noticed the other day, and I'll probably preach on it, so I've got a sermon that I wrote in 1983, and it's entitled Camp Compromise or Cash Meetings. Boy, it's a winner too. I just wanted to tell you that when you begin to look, conditions fail when there's no preaching of the unadulterated word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, somebody said, well, you know, can't we just get along one with another? Well, we could if you'd line up with the Bible. See? You're not going to be a friend of God, but you want me to be your friend? I got enough problems myself trying to stay right with God myself. You see what I'm talking about? I want to say, make no mistake about it, is that preaching ought to lay a demand down at the heart's door of what's right and wrong in the sight of God. Isn't that the reason why you think God said over there in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's not going to change it. Why do you think the Lord says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? You know why? Too many people excusing it. The reason why, I see. You know why? I got a good friend who wanted to go to Scotland. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, you know, you're not in Scotland. We're in the United States of America, where we preach that men ought to be wearing breeches and women ought to be wearing dresses. And here you got a man standing up there now with them old bony looking, hairy, nasty looking legs showing. I just know they're going to want to book me night and day for them. And ain't one of them that I can think of tonight that used to not preach the very same thing. They preached the very same thing. I got to say that when you begin to look into this, what happens in the day we live in is politics has replaced preaching. And so naturally, you don't want to go against somebody that's going to be a political influence in your life. I got to tell you, you better junk all that. You better throw that aside. And you better preach for doctrine the commandments of God instead of the commandments of men. Make no mistake about it. The military cannot tell us what we ought to be preaching. The city dweller cannot tell us what we ought to be preaching. The only thing that can tell us what we ought to be preaching is the blessed word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but did you remember over there in the book of 1 Corinthians whenever they was playing my favorite preacher? One of them said, I'm a Paul. Another said, I'm a Apollos. And another, you got it? Got the picture? I got to tell you, you better stick with God, the Bible, what's good, right, moral, and decent in the sight of the Lord. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, here's what we begin to see. We begin to see that all of a sudden here that this condition of him letting his daughter run around. Now, you know, it's the only daughter he had. And fact is, do you realize that, though, that not going to the house of God soon enough, he lost his daughter? If you study the thing, the rest of it out, not staying long enough, he lost his wife. And by the time you get over there in chapter number 35, and the last part of it is that she died during childbearing. Remember that? I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, you can't improve with your family than dwelling in the house of God. You can't rise above that. In this lesson that we're looking at, is that you'll find out, is that while she's busy running around, and I'm sure that probably there's somebody said, hey, you know, Diane's out there running around with some, Diana's running around with a Hivite out there, with a Hamite. Oh, really? Well, he looks like he's, oh, yeah, he'll be a prince. He's a prince. You get your eyes too much on being a prince. And true, I'm going to tell you something, gals, make no mistake about it, is that I'd rather have daughters and I'd rather have granddaughters that grew up to be godly old maids is to have some son-in-laws that I know, excluding present company that's in here. And make no mistake about it, is that when you look into this Bible, you'll find out that you're not going to find somebody out there in the world running up and down and trying to get their attention. You're not going to find somebody unless God's really in it to bring it your way. I want to say and get ready to close tonight as we begin to look into this thing here, is that you'll find that Jacob, here's what they did. All her brothers got together and said, I'll tell you what we're going to do is, and Shechem and his father Hamor said, here's what's going to happen. We can't mess with you, and we can't take your daughters to be our wives and give you our sister to be your husband. We can't do that unless you're willing to circumcise yourself. Well, they got together and met together and didn't know what to do, and they thought, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do it. And let me tell you what circumcision does. About 3 days later, when they were good and sore, those men, buddy, came in and slew every one of them, killed everyone. And poor old Jacob was so backslid on God, here's what he said. You're going to make me stink in the eyes of these people around here. You're more worried about how you're going to look than the honor of God. There's a high price to pay for low living. And in this lesson that you're looking at here this evening, I got to tell you something, is that you can't bargain your way out with God. You just can't do it. And as a result of that, let me tell you something, that crowd paid dearly for that sexual-oriented, sex-maniac prince by the name of Shechem that raped that daughter that belonged to Jacob. I got to tell you something, is that you'll find out here's what they wanted to do. Look over there in chapter 34, and I want you to look at about verse number, let's see here, verse 11, chapter 34, verse 11. And the Bible said, and Shechem said unto her father and to her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me, I will give. Here's a man that wanted to find grace without God. We live in a Baptistic-minded world that way. Oh, we want all the benefits, we want all the grace, we want all the mercy, but they just didn't want God. And as a result of that, they ended up losing their lives. Make no mistake about it, that religion has always tried to get us to yoke up with the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know why God forbade that kind of mixing? He knew that sooner or later, if you mix with an idolatrous person, they would rob your heart and rob you away from God. That's exactly what it amounts to. I want to tell you something, it's not riches that we need, and or just more religion, but it's a closer relationship to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm his and he's mine. I'm born again into the family of God, and I'm going to tell you, I feel like that most all of you are as well. Maybe some of these children haven't yet come to the age of knowledge of accountability. I know not. But here's what I do know is, you can't do better than showing up down at the house of God and it being more than just a visiting place. It's a dwelling place. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now, Father, we thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings upon these words that we've given tonight. And I pray. certainly a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of pulling one way and another way, and all of it is away from God. I pray you'd help us to stand strong in the Lord, the power of your might, and we'll thank you for helping us to be steadfast, unmovable, and for always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.